Today's digest for July 15, 2026. 10 stories today covering AI coding tools, research funding, a database migration, and a run of security disclosures. We'll get into OpenAI's Codex overhaul, Anthropic's new Canadian research push, the Lobster site moving to SQLite, and a fresh crop of vulnerabilities from secure boot to tailscale. Here's the rundown. Leading off, OpenAI shipped a major upgrade to Codex, its coding agent, built around a new model family called GPT 5.6. It comes in three tiers, Sol as the flagship, Terra as a lower-cost option, and Luna tuned for speed, and all three are now live across ChatGPT, Codex, and the developer platform. The bigger shift is where Codex runs. It now lives directly inside the ChatGPT desktop app on Mac and Windows, with inline editing, inside diffs, pull request review in a side panel, support for multiple repositories in a single project, and a faster computer use mode for driving a machine. On the developer side, OpenAI added programmatic tool calling, explicit prompt caching controls, and a beta for multi-agent orchestration. Taken together, it reads as a deliberate push to make the coding agent a full desktop workspace rather than a terminal add-on. Next up, Anthropic committed $10 million Canadian to research institutions across Canada. The money arrives as Claude credits, $1 million worth to each partner, going to Edmonton's AMEI, Montreal's MILA, Toronto's Vector Institute, and a set of health and university groups, including a Children's Hospital Research Institute, a mental health center, Universite Laval, and the University of Toronto. Notably, Anthropic says it won't steer the research directions or findings. The projects range widely: reinforcement learning and AI safety at AMEI, responsible AI, and multi-agent robotics at MILA, and a Laval effort studying how large language models handle Quebec French, Indigenous languages, and other low-resource dialects. The company paired the news with a revealing data point. Canada ranks 8th worldwide in Claude usage, and per person, Canadians reach for Claude at more than 4 times the rate you'd predict from population alone. Moving to infrastructure, the community tech site Lobsters has finished migrating its database from MariaDB to SQLite, capping a plan that had been in the works since 2018. Simon Willison flags it as a useful case study in just how far a single server can take you in 2026. The whole site now runs on one virtual machine, with its data split across a handful of SQLite files, a main content store of a few gigabytes, plus smaller ones for caching, the job queue, and request rate limiting. The reported payoff was immediate: lower processor usage, lower memory usage, a snappier site, and reduced hosting costs once the separate database server was switched off. The migration itself was a heavy lift, a single change touching well over 100 files. But the takeaway is that SQLite has quietly become a credible backbone for a real, actively used production site, not just a local development convenience. For something lighter, Simon Willison stumbled onto a quirky feature in OpenAI's Codex desktop app: animated pets that bounce around your screen and surface updates about your coding tasks, a knowing callback to the old Microsoft Clippy assistant. Rather than pick a stock character, he generated his own, a pelican riding a bicycle, by prompting a GPT model to produce the artwork. The workflow is the interesting part. The model first created a reference image of the character, then generated animation frames like waving and bouncing, and finally stitched those into sprite sheets and looping graphics. Willison documented the whole pipeline, noting it leans on a pair of open source components that OpenAI published under a permissive license. It's a small, playful example, but it captures something real about this moment. Generating game-ready animated art from a plain English prompt is now a casual afternoon experiment rather than a specialist job. On the funding side, an Israeli startup called Oak emerged from stealth with $60 million in seed funding, co-led by Excel, CRV, and Greylock, to tackle identity and access management in a world of AI agents. The pitch is that legacy identity tools were built for the cloud era and struggle now that humans, machines, and autonomous agents all need governed access. Oak's system maps permissions to how applications are actually used and strips away unnecessary access in real time, instead of waiting for a periodic review. Chief executive Shai Morag knows the space. He previously sold Secto to Palo Alto Networks and Hermetic to Tenable for $265 million. His argument is that today's access management is too manual and operations-driven rather than risk-driven, with no automatic trigger when, say, an employee suddenly logs in from an unusual location, exactly the kind of gap that AI is expected to make easier for attackers to exploit. On to security, and a striking sign of where vulnerability research is heading. Microsoft's July patch Tuesday addressed more than 570 vulnerabilities, a record haul the company attributes in part to AI-accelerated bug discovery. Two of the flaws are already being exploited in the wild, an elevation of privilege issue in Active Directory Federation services and another in SharePoint Server, and a separate BitLocker bypass was disclosed but not yet seen in attacks. The headline theme is the arms race itself. Microsoft says it is now using AI internally to speed up finding bugs, and researchers demonstrated that an AI model could generate working proof-of-concept exploits for 13 of 14 flaws that had been rated unlikely to be exploited. That last finding matters because it undercuts an assumption defenders rely on, that low-probability bugs can wait. When AI can turn an obscure flaw into a working exploit cheaply, the whole triage calculus shifts. Staying with security. Researchers at ESET disclosed that at least 11 old Microsoft-signed boot components can still be used to bypass Secure Boot, the firmware defense that ensures a machine boots only trusted code. The unsettling part is that this isn't a new bug. The underlying flaw was quietly fixed almost a decade ago, but the old signed versions were never revoked, so they stay trusted. Someone who obtains one of those components could run unauthorized code during boot, before the operating system loads, exactly where stealthy boot-level malware likes to live. It affects nearly any machine that trusts a widely used Microsoft certificate authority, whatever operating system is installed. Microsoft revoked the vulnerable versions in its June update, but the researchers warn that no one really knows how many other forgotten, unrevoked components are still out there. Trust, once granted in security, is very hard to fully claw back. A sharp one from Tailscale. The company patched a high-severity flaw in its SSH feature that could hand a user full root access, bypassing the access rules meant to contain them. The root cause is a classic and instructive bug. A username that was crafted to look like a command line flag got passed along to an underlying system utility and was misread as an option rather than a name. On affected Linux machines, that confusion let someone who should have been restricted to a non-root account escalate all the way to root. Tailscale fixed it by rejecting usernames that begin with a dash, and the issue is resolved in the latest release. The flaw was reported by Anthropic together with the security firm Datalogix. The broader lesson is an old one that keeps resurfacing. Anywhere untrusted input gets handed to a command line, the boundary between data and instruction is where things break. Next, a look at how commoditized attacks have become. A new report from Reversing Labs describes ClickFix, a social engineering technique, maturing into a full malware as a service business. The basic trick is familiar: a fake CAPTCHA, browser update, or meeting error convinces someone to run a command on their own machine using ordinary system tools, which sidesteps a lot of traditional defenses. What's changed is the economy around it. Complete kits now sell on a spectrum, from a couple $100 a month to well over $1,000 for a lifetime license, bundling ready-made templates that impersonate major services, domain rotation, and promises of antivirus evasion. As the researchers put it, the sophistication is rented, not built, which lets attackers with no real malware skills run credible campaigns. In one telling test, more than 100 confirmed lures had slipped past every antivirus engine check. Closing the stories, a security researcher named Ayush Paul published a case study in how AI assistants can leak their own memory. The setup, a Claude feature that could fetch web pages and follow links, combined with the assistant's stored memory of past conversations. Paul showed that a carefully built malicious website could steer the model into gradually revealing sensitive details from that memory, such as personal information or account recovery answers, by walking it through a chain of link fetches. He reported it through Anthropic's bug bounty program. Anthropic said it had already found the issue internally and responded by restricting the fetch tool so it only follows links from search results or from addresses the user explicitly provides. The lesson generalizes well beyond one product. When you give an AI both a memory of private data and the ability to reach the open web, the link between those two powers is a serious attack surface that needs tight sandboxing. That's the rundown for July 15th. A busy day across the stack. New coding agents, fresh research money, and a steady drumbeat of vulnerabilities that all seem to point at the same theme, that AI is now working both sides of the security equation. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow with the next digest.